This is KGNU's Morning Magazine for Wednesday, October 13th. I'm your host, Shannon Young. Thank you for joining us here on listener-supported community radio. Coming up on today's program, Latino families gathered outside of the main offices of the Boulder Valley School District in the cold rain yesterday to show their support for three school board members who are facing a recall attempt. We bring you the latest in an ongoing collaborative series between the Rocky Mountain Community Radio Coalition and the Solutions Journalism Network, looking at the affordable housing crisis across the Mountain West. And herbalist Brigitte Mars will bring us her regular Wednesday feature, Naturally. A BBC update and commentary from Jim Hightower are at the bottom of the hour. And then it's a public affair. Today, we'll hear from civil rights activist Tamika Mallory, author of the book State of Emergency. At 9:30, the Morning Sound Alternative comes your way to bring you a mix of eclectic music until noon. That's all still ahead this morning after these headlines with KGNU's Jamie Sudler.
A protest against a recall election of school board members was held yesterday before a meeting of the Boulder Valley School District. Latino parents organized the rally. Some of those at the protest expressed their concern that the recall attempt, which is still in the signature gathering stage, was aimed at removing Richard Garcia, the only Latino member of the school board, along with two others, Kathy Gebhardt and Lisa Sweeney Moran. We're going to have more on this rally after headlines. Colorado will be the first state in the U.S. to require some health care plans to cover comprehensive services for transgender persons. The joint announcement was made by the state and the U.S. government yesterday. The Colorado Sun reports that some insurers will now have to provide gender-affirming care, including certain surgical procedures, hormone therapy, and mental health services, among others. The new benefits were included by the Colorado Division of Insurance after meetings with insurance companies. The requirement applies to plans offered only by small employers and to those who buy health insurance on their own without help from an employer. That includes about 500,000 people in the state. Just like cancer treatments or maternity care, the new benefits are considered essential. One of President Joe Biden's top health officials said that they hope this marks an historic beginning and that other states look to Colorado as a model. The new requirements will go into effect in 2023. New districts for the Colorado State Senate were approved last night by a commission established through voter-approved constitutional amendments. The new map would give Democrats a good chance of maintaining their majority in the 35-seat state Senate. The Independent Legislative Redistricting Commission unanimously voted to send the proposal to the Colorado State Supreme Court for its review. On Monday night, the commission approved a new map for the state house, which the Colorado Sun reports appears to keep Democrats in power in the lower chamber. The state Supreme Court has until November 15th to approve the state legislative maps or send them back to the commission for revisions. And yesterday, the court heard arguments about new districts in the state for electing representatives to the federal Congress. About a half dozen groups tried to convince the justices to send the maps back to the commission because of race and diversity. A representative of the Colorado Latino Leadership Advocacy and Research Organization argued that newly drawn District 8 should be redrawn to give minority-preferred candidates a better chance. District 8 would stretch from the North Denver metro area to Greeley. An attorney for the League of Latin American Citizens tried to convince the justices that District 8 should be redrawn with Southern Colorado in mind to prevent dilution of minority voices. However, Nine News reports that an attorney representing the commission said that it is impossible to draw districts with every community of interest in mind. He said that Colorado is too big and too diverse to do that. New data from the Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment show that there are more people hospitalized in the state with COVID-19 than at any other time this year. And now the state has passed 8,000 deaths from the coronavirus. This data surpassed, about 1,000 of those 8,000 have occurred since June. More than three-quarters of Coloradans currently hospitalized are unvaccinated. A spokesperson for the Colorado Hospital Association says that some facilities are diverting ambulances to other hospitals because of beds being filled, staff shortages, and more trauma cases. Diverting patients to other hospitals can go on for hours at a time while volume is managed. The spokesperson added that trauma cases will not be turned away, but it could be a stroke patient or a potential heart attack that could be directed to go to another hospital. The state of Colorado confirmed yesterday that the head of the state's Air Pollution Control Division has stepped down. Gary Kaufman has been moved to another job in state government just weeks after the Colorado Attorney General's office issued a report concluding he did not disclose potential conflicts of interest for 2.5 years. The Air Quality Agency has been subject to increased criticism lately as the metro region's pollution is viewed as a problem. The report commissioned by the AG also found that Kaufman ordered managers in the agency to tell employees not to review or model estimated emissions at some facilities across the state for pollutants that contribute to unhealthy levels of ground-level ozone. Kaufman will now serve as deputy director in the State Department of Regulatory Affairs. Today we'll see sunshine with highs in the upper 50s with an overnight low of about 34. And tomorrow, showers and possibly snow showers are likely in the afternoon and into the evening. On Friday, sunny skies return. Right now it's about 35 in Boulder and Fort Collins and a bit warmer in Denver. For KGNU, I'm Jamie Sudler.
You are listening to The Morning Magazine on KGNU. Latino families gathered outside of the main offices of the Boulder Valley School District in the cold rain yesterday to show their support for 3 school board members who are facing a recall attempt. KGNU's Rosana Longo-Better went to the action and spoke with a BVSD student about the possibility of losing the only Latino board member.
¿Qué queremos?
Ser escuchados.
¿Cuándo?
Ahora.
A group of Latino parents organized an anti-recall protest in front of Boulder Valley School District Education Center in Boulder. Parents and their children hold signs and wave at passing vehicles, protesting that the petitioners now are collecting signatures in an attempt to force a recall of the 3 school board members. The recall is based on concerns about decisions made by the school board about the coronavirus pandemic, including the requirement of face coverings.
I am here outside Boulder Valley School District building, and I have a student with me. Why is this important for you and your community?
To be honest, I don't think it's okay to kick Ricardo Garcia out of the office. He has done nothing wrong but support the Latin community, because I'm Latina, and I have been going, like, growing up as a kid, there's a lot of things that a lot of, like, Mexican kids, like, support at school. He supported us a lot, so I don't think we should be doing this to him.
He's being recalled. What are your thoughts about that?
I think it's wrong because, like, we're all wearing our mask for everybody's safety in the communities of, like, the people who are older than us, all the seniors. We want to protect people around us. Yeah, we want to protect people around us. We don't want no one dying. It's really hard when someone close to you dies. Wearing our mask can, like, make this pandemic easier for everybody instead of, like, just closing everything down. Because without our mask, everybody gets more sick quicker, everybody dies quicker.
You, as a student of Boulder Valley School District, what are your thoughts if, you know, the process continues and Richard Garcia, along with the other 2 board members, is recalled? If he is recalled, who can represent the Latino community?
To be honest, I do not know if anybody can, because he's Latino. He knows how we are. He can put himself in our shoes easily, unlike other, like, people who were, like, born here and stuff like that. They don't know that much about our culture. They can learn that, but not as much as, like, a real Latino born into a Mexican family. Because only us, we can see how racist the system is. People of color also witness that. But, like, police and districts and more powerful people, like, we get treated less, right? We get treated less right than American, like, white people. They have more privilege than us.
Give me your name and tell me, which grade are you?
I'm Joanna Ortiz, and I am a 11th grader, a junior.
So without his protection, what will happen with the Latino community in Boulder Valley School District?
I believe there will be not the right person. He's the right person to defend us from, like, the racist system and everything. Like I said, not every other white person from here is gonna know what we go through. They're not going to know the real, they're not going to be able to see what we see with this community sometimes that happens with racism.
Especially with the pandemic, you know, when we saw that kids didn't have computers at home, they didn't have internet at home, and they had to continue school. This pandemic has shown us all these struggles. Why do we need representation? Why do we need representation at that higher level?
I just feel like there should be more Latino voices out there to help a lot of Latinos in this community, because not all of us are treated right. Some of us are treated more differently at school, at work, etc. So I believe there should be more people out there to speak up, because if nobody speaks up, nobody will. And we're going to be in the same spot all the time, getting treated less than everybody else in this country.
It affects your self-esteem, huh? And when you're growing up and you're a student.
You want to fit in with everybody else in this country. Like, not a lot of people have pride of their own culture because of what they see everywhere. Like, blonde hair is better. Like, everybody likes blonde hair more than black hair, brown hair. White skin is better than brown. A lot of girls who are colored, Hispanic, grow up having, like, with low self-esteem because of that. Because we grow up into a system where everything is how they want it to be. Like, it has to be the American way, our way, and not how, like, we don't get the choice to show what we want or do.
Please tell me again your name.
Joanna Ortiz, and I'm an 11th grader.
For KGNU, I am Rosanna Longo-Better.
Be sure to listen to this coming Friday's special Fun Drive Connections program, 8:30 to 9:30 a.m., with Duncan Campbell and longtime friend and colleague Francis Moore LaPay, celebrating the just-published 50th anniversary edition of her global bestseller, Diet for a Small Planet, available as a pledge gift, updated and deeply relevant to our planet and U.S. democracy in unprecedented crises.
You are listening to KGNU, Boulder, Denver, and Fort Collins. We are in our fall fun drive, and we are just over halfway through the morning magazine and just under halfway to our goal. I am joined here in the studio by Rosanna Longo-Better, the reporter on that last piece you just heard. Good morning, Rosanna.
Good morning, Shannon. Thank you for having me this morning. And thank you for listeners. And this morning has been beautiful to listen to Amy Goodman from Democracy Now! It's such an inspiration. And what an honor for me to be able to go yesterday, and see the families, the Latino families, together with their children protesting and requesting that their voice be heard. They don't want to be silenced. And it was a surprise for me, to listen to this young student being so articulated and requesting to be heard. So I'm asking to those out there listening to us, you out there listening to us, and the voices that we bring, please go and call 303-449-4885 and show us that you appreciate the things that we do, that we bring those voices that are not heard we are an independent, non-commercial media, and you need to support these efforts.
And what we try to do at KGNU is bring the voices of those directly affected by policies, and who better to speak about the impending possible recall of school board members than a student who has to sit in class every single day and, live with the consequences of if these school board members did not follow federal or did not follow county guidance when it comes to face masks. The impetus behind the recall, the stated reasons, is that some people disagree with the school board following county health guidelines requiring face coverings inside of schools. That and other reasons, but that is mainly the issue. They also disagreed with use of school facilities for mobile vaccine clinics. For example, there was one at, the name is escaping me, but there's an elementary school off on Broadway where there were mobile clinics there. And they were also disagreeing with promotion of vaccines in children under the age of 18. Those have real life consequences when we have kids in school, when we live in a community where the one of the largest gathering of unvaccinated people are kids in school. So this is a real issue with real consequences for our community. And there are people who are going out there making their voices heard. And Rosanna Longobetter was there to make sure that their voices made it onto the air. Give us a call at 303-449-4885. I want to be able to thank you at the next break, but I also want to bring you this next story. It's from one of our sister stations of the Rocky Mountain Community Radio Coalition. We've been participating in an effort to cover the housing crisis across the Mountain West. And in doing so, we are part of a network that has received a grant from the Solutions Journalism Network in order to cover this housing crisis, not just from Boulder or Denver, but also from rural mountain towns as well. And I know that we have listeners up in the mountains. I would love to hear from you. 303-449-4885. Mountain listeners, where are you? Give us a call. Let us know that you're there. And in the meantime, we're going to play this story that looks at a possible solution to the housing crisis brought to us via Vancouver, Canada. In 2017, Vancouver, Canada became the first North American city to enact a tax on residential properties sitting vacant for more than half the year. The goal is to return vacant homes to the local rental market and raise revenue for affordable housing projects. Kylie Mackey of KHOL Jackson reports on how some Western Mountain towns are now eyeing early signs of Vancouver's success. The story is a part of a collaboration between Rocky Mountain Community Radio and the Solutions Journalism Network, highlighting affordable housing solutions across the Mountain West.
In the mid-2010s, Vancouver was faced with what the city's director of housing policy and regulation, Dan Garrison, describes. As an existential crisis.
We were having a really intense public debate about these housing challenges and about how we could address the rising cost of housing relative to incomes. Are we still going to be able to be a place where sort of normal people live and work, or are we becoming a resort?
Around this time, the city also started to notice that some properties that could have been rented out were being left vacant most of the time.
It's almost like wasting food in a time of abundance isn't that big of a deal, but wasting food when people are starving is, right?
So the city worked with the provincial government and developed a first-of-its-kind tax on residential properties that are vacant for more than 6 months of the year. The tax rate started at 1% of a property's assessed taxable value in 2017 and will be raised to 3% for 2021. Julia Aspinall is Vancouver's director of financial services.
The average price for a condo is about like $800,000. So 1% is $8,000. And then average single home using $2.5 million, that'd be $25,000.
Aspinall says it's critical for her department to be fair in how it administers the tax. That means every residential property has to declare its occupancy status annually. If owners fail to do so, the fee gets rolled over onto their property taxes. There's a robust appeals process, several exemptions, and random audits. But Aspinall says about 99% of owners declare on time. There's also evidence that the tax is making progress on its main objective.
Our primary goal is not to generate revenue. It's to have that housing returned into use. However, if you do have people that can afford to own property in a city like Vancouver and leave it sitting vacant, then we think it's reasonable that they pay a tax that goes into contributing to addressing our housing problems.
More than 7,000 formerly vacant properties have become tenanted since the tax went into effect in 2017. That means they've either become primary residences or now have renters. $61.3 million in tax revenue has also been allocated for affordable housing projects. Those figures sound pretty appealing to some Western Mountain towns.
The Band-Aid has been like totally ripped off. It's only going to get worse if we don't take drastic action. And get taxed like this, in the big scheme of things, like, isn't that drastic in terms of the amount of money flowing through this community?
William Dujardin is a recently resigned member of the town council in Crested Butte, where residents will vote on a vacancy tax in November. Colorado tax law doesn't allow the town to charge a percentage based on property value, so the tax will be a flat fee of $2,500, far lower than the amounts paid in Vancouver. The ballot measure is also tied to a 0.5% increase in local sales tax, which Dujardin says was a way to bring the community together.
They're linked in efforts to bring enough second homeowners along that locals were okay with voting on it and not feeling like they were just taxing people who don't have a vote.
Some elected officials would also like to see a vacancy tax in Jackson, Wyoming. But that's easier said than done, as State Representative Mike Yin learned last year.
So I got more vitriol from that 2020 bill than I've gotten from any other piece of legislation that I've ever been sponsored or co-sponsored on.
Yin and two fellow Teton County state legislators proposed an optional unoccupied home fee that Wyoming counties could opt into. But it didn't make it out of committee in a legislature that's notoriously anti-tax. Garrison from Vancouver also cautions that no vacancy tax is a silver bullet.
The empty homes tax has not suddenly turned Vancouver into an affordable city, but it has reduced the number of vacant properties in the city. It has increased the amount of rental housing available to people in the city. The fact that the tax hasn't solved the entire problem isn't a very good reason to not try to solve the problem that it's tried to solve.
In Crested Butte, Dujardin is hopeful the vacancy tax will pass. Unfortunately, he won't be around to see its impact. The former city councilman is moving to Salt Lake City, where he and his fiance believe they have a better chance of affording a home they can start a family in. For KHOL and Rocky Mountain Community Radio, I'm Kyle Mackey.
And I'm Shannon Young here with KGNU. Boulder, Denver, and Fort Collins, we are in our fall fund drive, and we are in the final minutes of the morning magazine, and we want to hear from you. Supporting local community radio, local news on community radio, and information that you can use. That things like maybe you were driving down Arapaho yesterday and was like, hey, what's that? Well, Rosanna Longobetter was out there telling you what it was about, stopped, spoke to the people at the protest. She's here with me now. And we are asking you to give us a call, 303-449-4885. We just have a few minutes left, but I want to get to something that you have all come to know and love on Wednesdays, Naturally, with Brigitte Mars. And I want to thank Brigitte for her weekly contributions to this program. They're always just information that I am able to apply in my daily lives. And I actually made this special request to her, and she brings this advice now.
Greetings, welcome to Naturally. This is Brigitte Mars to talk about helping our children get enough sleep. So we do know that sleep is that regenerating repose. It also gives the parents a break as well. But we know the signs of when our child is tired, when they're acting up or crying easily, being clumsy, maybe just misbehaving. So things we can do, we can soothe our young ones with lullabies or chanting. We can dim the lights as the day goes on, rather than going from really bright lights to maybe dimmer lights, because light triggers wakefulness and it disrupts natural melatonin production. We might think about offering for infants something like homeopathic chamomilla, or even chamomile tea or lemon balm tea. Those are great teas for very young kids. When we have children, you know, 3 and older, we can also think about herbs like skullcap and again, lemon balm and chamomile. And I'm not a big fan of using melatonin for kids because it is a hormone, and I would be more concerned about trying to get outdoors and get some full spectrum light every day and then have our bedtimes more in total darkness. And for kids that are older that are having a hard time sleeping, maybe think about doing eye pillows because light triggers wakefulness. It's always good to look at any electromagnetic energy in the room that might be triggering wakefulness, such as sleeping near their phones or computers, even digital clocks. So sleeping in a room with total darkness is going to help sleep. A warm bath before bed. You can add a few drops of lavender oil. This is also an opportunity for great stories. You can read to your kids when they're old enough. They can read back to you a little bit and be selective about what you read. Where do you want to put your consciousness? Mindfulness techniques, deep breathing, guided imagery. Look at the feng shui of the room. Make sure that the bed is, you know, that one feels safe and has what they need. Think about not snacking and cut back on sugar and caffeine during the day, which can also be in sodas and chocolates. So homeopathic remedies are very helpful. Coffea cruda is a remedy for a racing mind. And I think it's a great idea to get ready for the next day, the night before. It's going to make getting out of the house a lot easier and more serene. Thanks for joining me, Brigitte Mars, on Naturally.
Thank you, Brigitte Mars, for another episode of Naturally, which comes to you every Wednesday at 8:25, unless we're in Fun Drive, then it's a little bit later. But I want to thank everybody who has called in. I want to thank Michael and Vinja Donahue once again for their matching challenge grant. We are about to move into the next segment, which is a public affair. But first, I want to thank everybody who called in and also to everybody who participated. That means Jamie Sudler with the headline. As he does every Monday and Wednesday. Thank you, Jamie. To Rosanna Longobetter, who went out to in the rain yesterday to collect the voices of people directly impacted by this potential recall of three BVSD members.
Thank you. Thank you, Shannon. And thank you those that have donated today. This means a lot to us. Please, again, call us 303-449-4885 or go online and support our community radio, our local news.